Nicodemus attacked in the moment Michael's attention was elsewhere. The Denarian's weapon blurred, and Michael barely managed to get Amorakius into a parry. He was thrown off balance and to one knee for a fatal second, but Sanya roared and attacked, whipping his saber through whistling arcs and driving Nicodemus back. The Russian drove the Denarian toward the far side of the car. I saw the trap coming and shouted, "Sanya, back off!" The Russian couldn't stop his forward momentum entirely, but he pivoted and lunged to one side. As he did, steely blades erupted from within the car. The metal of the roof screamed as the blades pierced it, rising to a height of 4 or 5 feet in a line, a half breath behind Sanya. Nicodemus turned to pursue the Russian. Michael got his feet, whipped the heavy blade of Amorakius around, and slashed 3 times at the roof of the rail car. A triangular section, 3 feet across, fell down into the car, and the edges of the metal glowed dull orange with the heat of the parted steel. Michael dropped down through the hole and out of sight. I lifted up my blasting rod and focused on Nicodemus. He shot a glance at me and flicked his wrist in my direction. His shadow flashed across the top of the rail car and smashed into me. The shadow wrenched the blasting rod from my grip, dragged it through the air, and then crushed it to splinters. Sanya let out a cry as a blade tore through the car's roof and one of his legs collapsed. He fell to one knee. Then brilliant light flared up within the car beneath the combatants, spears of white lancing out through the holes the blades had cut into the metal. I heard Deirdre's demon form shriek in the car beneath us, and the blades harassing Sanya vanished. Nicodemus snarled. He flung a hand toward me, and his shadow sent the splinters of my blasting rod shrieking toward my face. As they did, Nicodemus attacked Sanya, his sword flickering in the moonlight. I got my arms up in time to deflect the splinters, but I was helpless to assist Sanya. Nicodemus knocked Sanya's saber out to one side. Sanya rolled, avoiding the stroke that would have taken his head. Doing it left Sanya's wounded arm on the ground, and Nicodemus crushed the heel of his boot down upon it. Sanya screamed in pain. Nicodemus raised his sword for the death blow. Gentleman Johnny Marcone opened up with the Kalashnikov. Marcone shot in 3 chattering bursts of fire. The first one tore through Nicodemus's chest and neck, just above the shroud. The next hit on his arm and shoulder, opposite the shroud, all but tearing it off his torso. The last burst ripped apart his hip and thigh, on the hip opposite the shroud's drape. Nicodemus's expression blackened with fury, but the bullets had torn half his body to shreds, and he toppled from the car and out of sight. Below, there was another demonic shriek and the sound of wrenching metal. The shrieks faded toward the front of the train, and a moment later, Michael climbed up the ladder rungs on the side of the boxcar, his sword in its sheath. I leapt forward and ran to Sanya. He was bleeding a lot from his leg. He had already taken off his belt, and I helped him wrap it around the leg in a makeshift tourniquet. Marcone stepped up to where Nicodemus had fallen, frowned, and said, "Damn it! He should have dropped in place. Now we'll have to go back for the shroud." "No, we won't," I said. "You didn't kill him. You probably just pissed him off." Michael stepped past Marcone to help Sanya, tearing off a section of his white cloak. "Do you think so?" Marcone asked. "The damage seemed fairly thorough." "I don't think he can be killed," I said. "Interesting. Can he run faster than a train?" "Probably," I said. Marcone said to Sanya, "Do you have another clip?" "Where's Deirdre?" I asked Michael. He shook his head. "Wounded. She tore her way through the front wall of the car into the next one. Too risky to pursue her alone in close quarters." I stood up and crawled back over to the cattle car. I clambered down into it to fetch my staff. After a moment of hesitation, I got Marcone's rifle too and started back up. As it turned out, I was mistaken. Nicodemus could not run faster than a train. He flew faster than a train. He came sailing down out of the sky, his shadow spread like immense bat wings. His sword flashed toward Marcone. Marcone's reflexes could make a striking snake look sluggish, and he dodged and rolled out of the way of the Denarian sword. Nicodemus sailed to the next car on the train and landed in a crouch, facing us. A glowing sigil had appeared on his forehead, the sign itself something twisting, nauseating to look upon. His skin was marred and ugly where Marcone's shots had hit him, but it was whole and getting better by the second. His face twisted in fury and a kind of ecstatic agony, and his shadow flooded forward over the length of the rail car in front of him and dipping down between his car and ours.